We continue looking at the kingdom of God and what it means to be part of the kingdom of God as we journey through the second half of the Gospel of Matthew. The first 4 weeks we were looking at the values of the kingdom, the values of patient endurance and of the abundance and the extravagance of God's kingdom and all of these values that we are to cultivate as we live as citizens of the kingdom. Today we're going to shift focus a little bit. We're going to start looking at several ways that living in the kingdom of God transforms us, the ways it shapes us, the ways it calls us to become something new. Have you ever heard a couple that's been married for a long time and they say, my wife, my husband, they're just not the person I married? And we feel like somehow we've missed something. Like, wait a minute, we knew this person, we loved this person, we married this person, and now 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years later, it's like, do we even know this person anymore? And you know what they're saying? Do I even know this person anymore? Because guess what? We're not the same people. We never are. We never can be. As much as we like to think that we don't change, that things don't change in life, the reality is we are always changing. And the only question is this. Are we changing to become more inward-focused and self-centered, or are we changing to become more like Christ? And that's our call in the kingdom. And the first step to that transformation that Christ calls us to in his kingdom is the step of refocusing, of turning our attention away from all the other things in the world that distract us and turning our attention on him alone. And so we read this morning in Matthew's gospel, beginning in chapter 14, verse 22. Right then, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the lake while he dismissed the crowds. And when he sent them away, he went up to a mountain by himself to pray. Evening came and he was alone. And meanwhile, the boat, fighting a strong headwind, was being battered by the waves, and it was already far from the land. Very early in the morning, we assume while it was still dark, he came to his disciples walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." They were frightened and they screamed. Just then Jesus spoke to them, "Be encouraged, it's me. Do not be afraid." Peter replied, "Lord, if it's you, order me to come out on the water." And Jesus said, "Okay, come on." Peter got out of the boat and he was walking on the water towards Jesus. You can imagine his amazement. But he began to see the strong wind and he became frightened. And immediately he began to sink and he shouted, "Lord, rescue me." And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him, saying, "You man of weak faith, why did you begin to have doubts?" And when they got into the boat, the wind settled down. And then those in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, "You are God's son." It's the word of God for the people of God. This is a very familiar passage as we look at Peter stepping out on the boat. But I want to begin with where Jesus begins in this story. Because we talk about the disciples being out on the boat in the storm, but where is Jesus? The fact is that this is right after the scene that we looked at last week when Jesus had fed the 5,000. He had gone through a rejection in his hometown, according to Matthew's gospel, and then he had just found out that his friend John the Baptist had lost his head, literally, been beheaded by King Herod. And then he's trying to find a place by himself, a place to recover, a place to grieve, to reflect, to process all that's going on. And these thousands and thousands and thousands of people come flocking to him. And in his compassion, as we saw last week, he invites the disciples to feed them from what little they have, and somehow they always have more than enough. But it's the end of the day, the crowds finally have gone home, and Jesus still needs a break. So he goes up to the mountain, and he sends the disciples off ahead across the sea. Now, oftentimes we get really worried about the disciples being out there on the sea in the storm, but I'm just going to be honest with you. The storm wasn't the scary part for the disciples, because a lot of these guys were fishermen. Most of these people lived around the Sea of Galilee all the time. And anybody who lives around the Sea of Galilee knows that it's not surprising at all when a massive storm pops up, especially in the middle of the night. And people who are fishermen, people who make their living on that water, know how to deal with those storms. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. But you know what? They've just made a routine of it. My wife and I used to live in Florida. She's from Jacksonville, Florida. We went through hurricane season after hurricane season after hurricane season. And I'll tell you, at some point it just becomes normal. You don't worry about the storms that much. Maybe we should worry about them a little more. I don't know. But we just got used to it. We had three in a row one year. And I remember the one year that the second one of the three came. And it was Hurricane Francis. If you remember, there was like Francis, Charlie and Francis and Jean all back to back. I don't know what year that was. And that second one came, and it was supposed to be the biggest one that we had had in a long time. And so my wife evacuated to a home because we were living in a trailer home. And I stayed home. And I ended up sitting watching British comedies on TV all night with a little bit of wind outside, no problem at all. She was out at a nice home that was much more stable than mine. But because they were on a well, they lost water, they lost power, the tree fell down on the road, she couldn't get out for a couple of days. So, you know, even running away from the storm doesn't always help. The reality is that you just get used to it. You learn how to deal with those storms. And we joke that when there was a hurricane recently, although we pray for those who were in its path and those especially on the North Carolina coast who are still recovering, we know what that means, what that looks like, and so we pray for those. It is a hard recovery. But the truth is that we were saying that this is the most normal thing that's happened yet this year. For 2020, for a hurricane to come in hurricane season, wow, it actually did what it was supposed to do at the time it's supposed to come. That's not what we expect this year. But that's what the disciples expected. Storms come. That's not a problem. The problem is Jesus isn't where Jesus is supposed to be, at least in their minds. You see, they knew Jesus was up on the mountain. They knew Jesus was praying. Just like in many times in our lives, we know Jesus is up in heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father. That's where Jesus is in our minds. And so we can go and we can come into the sanctuary and we can pray to Jesus and we can, you know, speak to him, and he's kind of just up there. But what scared the stew out of these disciples was that Jesus showed up on the water in the middle of the waves and the wind and the storm. They knew how to deal with the storm. They knew how to hunker down. They knew how to prepare. They knew how to keep the boat afloat, keep the water out. They knew how to do all that. But what they didn't know how to deal with was a person standing out there on the water in the middle of the storm. That would scare any of us, to be honest. And I think that's our problem right now. As we look at going through the storms of our lives, as we look at this pandemic, as we look at the job losses, as we look at all the things that are shaken up and out of control right now, a lot of us are thinking, okay, we know the drill. We know how to hunker down. We know how to shop to make sure we have all the supplies we need and we're taken care of. We know how to isolate for a short time, although we're not used to this 3, 4, 5 month period of isolation, and that's taken its toll on a lot of people, especially with depression and all of that. But the reality is that while we know how to hunker down, while we know how to push through that storm, we're not always expecting Jesus to show up right there in the storm. We're expecting Jesus to be somewhere out there in heaven above the storm, where he can kind of, you know, fix it all and make it go away. That's where we pray. That's where we want our focus. But Jesus shows up right there, right in front of them, and they are terrified. And so Peter kind of tests him. Lord, if it's really you, because of course, why would it be? This must be a hallucination of some kind. I mean, we've had some long days. We're just really worn out. There's no way I can actually be seeing a person on the water. So Lord, if it's really you, call me to come out there. I'm not really sure how this is a good test, because even if it's a hallucination, he might have still said, come on. And that wouldn't have gone too well for Peter. So I don't really understand what was in Peter's mind to say that calling him to come would be the marker to prove that it was Jesus. But either way, Peter stepped out in faith. The others in the boat did not. They didn't even ask. And you can imagine the conversations. You can imagine the one practical one in the back getting the nets and lines and stuff ready to throw out to help Peter, save him, to bring him back in. And there's the other ones that are just laughing at him, like, you know, maybe a few tossing some dice or whatever to place some bets on how long he was going to make it before he started calling for help from the other disciples to get back in the boat. You know how people operate around stuff like that. When one person's willing to take the risk and everybody else sits back and watches, and yeah, I wonder how this is going to go. So Peter steps out, and he walks on the water with no problem. We see this. He walks to Jesus until he turns his attention away. And see, that's where we run into the problem, because, you see, we're walking through this storm whether we like it or not. Many of us have boats that are sinking, and we're trying desperately to stay afloat, and we're focusing on Jesus as best we can. But again, we think Jesus is out there somewhere in the heavens. We think Jesus is waiting for us here in the sanctuary on Sunday morning, just wondering, hey, when's everybody going to come back? Jesus isn't wondering that. We're wondering that, but Jesus is not wondering that. He's not concerned about that. What Jesus is doing is standing out on the waves, just like he was with Peter, and he's looking at us just like he was at Peter. And you notice whose gaze doesn't change? Jesus. Jesus never takes his eyes off of Peter. And when we're going through the storms of life, Jesus never takes his eye off of us. We're the ones who turn our attention to all the things that distract us, all the things that worry us, all the things that we feel like we need to have control over. And every time we look away, we begin to sink. Because there are just times in life where we are not in control, where we cannot calm the storm. And that's another thing that's really interesting about this. There are times that Jesus calms the storm, but right here, he doesn't. Jesus calls Peter out onto the water, and the waves are still high over the boat. The winds are still blowing. The storm calms at the end of the passage when they get back into the boat. It's not that Jesus can't do it, but maybe right now, if you're praying for a calm storm and you're praying for everything to get back to normal, Jesus is saying, hey, why do you need everything back to normal? I'm right here in the middle of the waves. Come to me. Look me in the eye. Walk this way. The waves, the wind, whatever else, doesn't matter, because he's got his eye on us, and he's asked us to do the same. Jesus doesn't need to calm the storm to prove himself, because Jesus gives us the ability to walk on water. That's what we're invited to learn in this season. How do we walk through the storm? How do we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, like horses with blinders on, so they can only see what's in front of them? Because on a race, if they get distracted by all the other horses around them, they'll go every which way across that track. But to stay focused, to keep our eyes fixed, that is what Jesus is calling us to here. And you know what? The truth is, there's going to be times that we're going to sink. We've all got a little bit of Peter in us. Who wouldn't? Most of us have the other disciples in us. Most of us don't step out of the boat to begin with. But even when we do step out, there's going to be a time when we get distracted. One of those waves is going to come up and come over our heads, and we're just going to get knocked down, and that's it. And we're going to be so busy trying to catch our breath and scrambling to try to get back afloat that we forget, wait a minute, wasn't I just walking? You know, we're trying to teach our daughter to swim, and, you know, 3.5 foot, she can stand up, you know, shoulders still above the water. She'll start swimming a little bit, and then panic and, you know, start floating around. And like, you do remember you can stand up, right? Like, you can stand easily. You don't have to flail. That's what Jesus is saying. Look, Peter, to all of us, you can walk on the water. You don't have to keep flailing through this. You don't have to keep struggling to be in control yourself. You can do it. You can walk on the water. You've already done it. So if you're sinking here, step up. Don't keep scrambling. Don't keep striving. Don't keep trying to figure it out on your own. Take my hand and step up. Is the ground uneven on the water? Absolutely. Are the waves still crashing in? Is the wind still blowing? Absolutely. But we know, because Jesus has walked with us on this path before, time and time again. And if we haven't walked on this path with him before, guess what? There's story after story after story of people in Scripture who have. There's story after story after story of people in your own families and in your own church who have gone through those storms and come out on the other side and can testify that so long as they kept their eyes on Jesus, they could walk on the water. They didn't understand it at the time. They were scared to death. But when they looked back and realized, oh my gosh, how did I get across that lake? Yeah, Jesus brought me here. Jesus brought all of us here to this place where we are, even if we don't see it. And when we fail, Jesus has mercy. He encourages us in our faith, and he will reach out. We're not going to drown. We trust that part. He will reach out. But my question for us today is, what does that storm look like that we're being called to step out into? What is that place that God showed up unexpectedly and we thought maybe he was a ghost? The ghosts are whatever fears that we have about the storm, whatever stories we have told ourselves, all the stories that the news reports are telling us. Those are the things that scare us. Those are the things that make us feel out of control. The things that make us feel uneasy. And we want so bad to have this place on dry ground that we call a sanctuary, to come back where we can be settled and calmed. Just like Jesus up on that mountain. Dry ground. We want to meet Jesus on dry ground. But Jesus wants to meet us in the middle of the waves. What does that look like for you? What is that storm? What is that thing you're being called out to do? Maybe right now God is laying on your heart that, you know what, we're not able to get together the way we normally do. And, you know, you look back at history and churches met in homes all over the place. They still do in some parts of the world. Maybe God's saying, you know what, hey, I'm right here in the storm, and you're hiding in your room waiting to get back to church, and I'm right here, hello, over here, look this way, and I want you to go talk to your neighbor on that side and your neighbor on that side, and I want you to invite them to your front porch next week to watch, or sometime during the week to do worship with you. And guess what, you've just planted a new church. Does that thought scare you? Or does it excite you? Maybe we're all called to be church planters right now, right where we're at. We've got the resources. We've got the technology. We've got the ability. We've got the relationships. We've got the people we can connect with. Are we willing to step out and say, hey, I'm not going to wait until this storm is over. I'm going to step out right now and meet Jesus on the water, whatever that looks like. And then you know what happens? Eventually we come back to the boat. Eventually Jesus and Peter both get out of the water. They get on solid ground. And eventually the storm will calm. And everybody else in the boat that never stepped out on that water, you know what they said? You must be the Son of God. We talk about a lack of hope in this season. Maybe God is calling you to be the hope for somebody else. Maybe there's people around you who are sitting in the boat worried about this ghost out there on the water. Whatever that looks like for them. And maybe what they need is to see you step out in faith. And when you step out and you come back and they watch how Jesus responded to you, they watch how Jesus held you up, they watch the confidence and the faith in you, even though you're really just as scared as they are. And maybe, just like these other disciples, they can look at that and say, you know what, if Peter can do it, maybe I can too. If that person can do it, maybe I can too. maybe there really is something to this Jesus thing. And maybe I don't have to just hunker down and wait for the storm to end. Maybe we can get out there and walk on the water together. Heck, maybe we can get out there and dance in the storm together and let the rest of the world look at us like we're crazy. That's fine. Because ultimately, we simply point them to the one who makes it all possible. Come out with us. Join us in the storm. We may be crazy, but it's a whole lot better than hiding in your room, watching the news 24/7, being afraid. We don't have to be afraid. We just have to refocus from whatever is on our screens, from whatever we're hearing from others, from whatever those voices in our own hearts are that say, you can't do it unless these certain things happen. Refocus. Look to Jesus. And he will call you, not into the comfortable places you want to go, but right into the middle of the storm. And he will uphold you every step of the way. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come and thank you for this reminder of the ways that you show up in the places that we least expect it. And quite frankly, in the places that we don't always want to meet you because we'd rather hide under the covers. So Lord, whatever those places of discomfort are right now, whatever those stormy seas are that you're calling us to step out onto, help us to keep our eyes on you and to step out, to turn our eyes upon Jesus and to trust in your amazing grace that you will not let us fall. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus and by the Holy Spirit who is ever present with us. Amen.